So we're going to talk traffic jams at how many thousand feet is this? I don't know.
28,000?
Is it 28,000 feet?
I think Everest is 29, isn't it?
Dave Morrow, author of the Altitude Journals. How high up is that traffic jam?
Well, the summit is 29,035 feet.
So then those traffic jams look like they're right near the summit, right?
Yeah, you know, the pictures I've seen show it occurring really from the south summit all the way over to the Hillary Step and then up on the summit. And the bottleneck that forms that is typically the Tenzing Step and the Hillary Step, which are precariously narrow and really can only accommodate one climber at a time.
Yeah, all right. So we're going to get into that in just a second. This, of course, is our friend Dave Morrow. The Altitude Journals is his book. We've talked about this before. A seven-year journey from the lowest point in my life, Dave says, to the highest point on Earth. Yes, Dave has summited Everest, and you've seen the pictures, no doubt, about the traffic jams up there, which we've just referenced. And I think 11 people, at least 11 people have died, and two Americans here in the last few days, Dave. So let me go in a completely different direction. There's this pop star, Mandy Moore is her name, and I know her from singing, but what, she's on a TV show too, Brad?
She's the girl on This Is Us.
Okay. So she just did something on social media about how she is at base camp, which is at I don't know how many feet, but one of the things that I saw recently on Real Sports was a piece about Sherpas and Sherpas who die on Everest every year.
Trying to help out these knuckleheads.
And they said part of the problem is that there are people who have no business going up there, who maybe don't put in the training that a Dave Morrow puts in, and they have to take them up, and it's a greater risk for everyone up there. Now, I don't know Mandy Moore's situation at all. Maybe she is incredibly fit and ready to do this. But is it possible to take somebody with the best Sherpa? Is it possible to take someone who has little or no training, pull them out of their cubicle, and run them up to the top of Everest and back down?
No.
It's not going
to
happen.
It's not going to happen. You have to acclimate your body to everything.
There's just so much that's got to go into it before you can even talk about attempting the summit. But, I mean, you've got to arrive, first of all, in the best shape of your life. That's the minimum bit. And secondly, all that fitness is squandered if you've got no skills, which means you better have served a lengthy apprenticeship on various other major peaks. That is what it takes. You can arrive without one of those things and make a shot. Your chances are not good. But if you're serious about it, that's what it takes.
If how big is the window for climbing Everest? Is it a month, 2 months? What's the best climbing window in there?
So climbers set themselves up for the month of May because in the month of May, the jet stream will swing over from the south side of Everest to the north side. And it's kind of like slack tide. The winds lay down for a period. And sometimes it'll swing over and then swing back. In a typical season, you'll get two or three weather windows you can aim for to make your attempt on the summit. And those windows might be a day, 2 days. So we're not talking about many days of reasonable conditions for summiting Everest, and yet we're talking about a whole lot of climbers that are going to try and force their way into one of those days.
Yeah, they said 380 permits or something, so it looked like in the picture I saw, every one of those 381 people or whatever was waiting there on that death zone.
Yeah, it was a mess. It's not good. It's not climbing. It's not safe. It's not good. And, you know, there's been a lot of discussion about why that situation exists, how to fix that situation. And I would tell you for starts, there are just way too many permits issued. They should cut the number of permits by more than half. But as you would guess, money enters the discussion.
Dave, of the $11,000 they quoted on the news that it cost to get a permit to go up there, how much of that goes to the Sherpa, or is the Sherpa paid on top of the $11,000?
Zero goes to the Sherpa. Zero.
So you set that
up
with
money,
him on your
I mean,
own?
It's my belief that that money disappears into the pockets of bureaucrats who control climbing on Everest. And I've interviewed numerous people, both in and out of the Nepali government, and there's nothing I've heard to dissuade me from that belief. So that's a problem, because if you're talking about 400 permits at 11 grand a piece, that's $4.1 million. And whoever that's going to is not interested in seeing that number go down.
Let's talk about the traffic jam there in the death zone there. You've talked about the death zone before. How long do they have? I mean, they're just standing there. How long can they just stand there? How long can you hang out in the death zone?
Yeah, great question. Well, I mean, for one thing, there's sort of a misunderstanding about the death zone. Most people think it starts above high camp. It actually starts at 19,000 feet. So, you know, by the time you get to high camp, you've been in the death zone several days already. As soon as you go above 19, your vital organs start shutting down. By any medical definition, you're dying. And the whole discussion is how to die slowly enough that you can get to the top and back down again. And clearly, some people lose that that wager.
And the higher you get, obviously, the worse it gets. And then you're passing bodies, correct, as you're going up and coming down.
Yeah, sadly. There'll be bodies that have been there for years. And it's not like they're every 10 feet, so I don't want to overstate the imagery here, but there are bodies. And in any given climbing season, there's, you know, you're going to pass a new body.
All right, Dave. You should fire up something like Morrow's Mountaineering, something like that, you know, if you're done being an author and everything.
So this should guide people. You could.
Well, yeah. You know, I wrote the book, and hopefully that offers some counsel to people who are thinking about climbing. And, of course, it's about a lot more than just climbing.
Well, Dave, I was wondering real quick before we let you go, and that last little row of stuff, climbers up there, could you drone something up to them if they needed it? I mean, could you run up some, I don't know, medical supplies or food or oxygen or something with a drone?
I don't know. You know, I mean, that is super thin air. A helicopter can't operate up there. Maybe a really high-performing drone could, but how much weight could it carry? You know, one of those oxygen canisters has got a little heft to it. So I don't know is the answer. The only good answer I know, aside from vastly reducing the number of permits issued for people to climb the mountain, is to take a different strategy than what everybody else is doing. And that's what I chose to do when I climbed. My Sherpa and I, we agreed that we would leave the fix line, which is what creates that logjam. Everybody's clipped into the protection of a fix line, and you can only go as fast as the guy in front of you when you do that. And so we just unclipped and we free climbed most of the face.
Wow. Well, now, hold on. Wow. That sounds like a lot more dangerous,
yes,
though.
Yes, it does.
You know, there's no question. It involves another helping of risk.
To the top.
But, you know, I mean, in our opinion, it was more dangerous to stay in the logjam.
Yeah.
So, and this was something we trained for 2 months of rotations on Everest. At the very beginning, we said, we're going to speed climb that last leg, and let's make sure we get our pace up and get used to holding a fast clip. And so we just sort of nodded to people as we went by them. And by about 11:30 that night, we passed the last climber and we were on our own. And it was great. It was what climbing is supposed to be. But the log jam was not an issue for us.
On the 66th anniversary of Sir Edmund Hillary getting to the top of that thing with Tenzing Norgay. Thanks, Dave Morrow.
Dave Morrow, Altitude Journals. It's hit 100 reviews now on Amazon. That's and 5-star out of 5-star, Brad.
Fabulous.
For the 100 reviews. And then you won an award, the Beverly Hills Book Award, the grand prize winner. For that as well, Dave. So good job. The book's getting great reviews.
Hey, thank you so much. I'm really happy about it. Yeah.
Altitude Journals, folks. Get it wherever books are sold, or you can go to Amazon as well. Thank you, Dave.
Yes, at Village Books also.
You got it. Support your local bookstore. Thanks, Dave.